The prominent art historian Judy Edgerton specialized in 18th century British art, especially the painter George Stubbs, and she titled her catalogue raisonné simply George Stubbs, Painter. Edgerton explains, George Stubbs is one of the greatest British 18th century painters with a deep and unaffected sympathy for country life and the English countryside. The title of this book, George Stubbs, Painter, deliberately echoes Stubbs' words when setting his name in 1766 to his own book, The Anatomy of the Horse. One of the stickiest labels in the history of British art quickly attached itself to Stubbs as Mr. Stubbs, the horse painter. This was a label of the kind bestowed by contemporary reviewers who liked to pigeonhole painters for the public. From 1764, when the Public Advertiser's reviewer urged him not to forsake the stable where only he can cut a figure, such comments persisted until the end of his career, understandably, for he never tired of painting horses. But his wide-ranging subjects included portraits, conversation pieces, and paintings of exotic animals, from the zebra to the rhinoceros, as well as an extraordinarily sympathetic series of portraits of dogs. In E.K. Waterhouse's words, Stubbs' work embraces, in its affectionate study, humans, the whole animal kingdom, and nature. Stubbs has long been underestimated both as a landscape painter and a portraitist. His approach to his subjects remained largely unchanged over 40 years. Unswayed by the prevailing grand manner, he retained an eye for truth sharpened by his early training as an anatomist, and he was, in his own mind, George Stubbs, painter. Words of art historian Judy Edgerton about the 18th century painter George Stubbs, suggesting he had a true gift for rendering horses on canvas, but the final images were the result of serious study of the anatomy of horses, for example, as we heard from the book he wrote. But, as we heard as well, he captured dogs handsomely and was drawn to nature in his landscapes. We're about to meet Diane Grant Tchaikovsky, who has probably been referred to as a horse painter during her career. But like Stubbs, she is broader than that. We'll soon meet Cutty, a coonhound mixed, perhaps, who has the most soulful eyes in her portrait of him, that those eyes connect with the viewer in the way dogs can do. And landscapes, too. Diane is inspired by nature, no matter the season. We have a chance to see her work in many places in November, from the Wyoming Valley Art League Fall Juried Exhibition to the Miniature Painters, Sculptors, Gravers Society of Washington, D.C., with a number of other shows. Diane Grant Tchaikovsky stopped in at the WVIA studios to talk with us about her work, and, in the spirit of George Stubbs, we asked her to define herself. It's as if you are someone for whom art is not something separate. It is part of who you are, right?
Yes, that's very true, Erica. It's a very good observation, too, because that is who I am. And people ask me, you know, like about having animals and stuff. And I said, well, I have all these animals. I love them. And when I'm painting them, I'm looking at their characteristics. I'm looking at the things that I think they're going to do. I want them to feel like they're going to move. They're going to do something. I want them to feel alive. And people say, well, how do you know you're finished? And I usually say, well, when the animal starts to breathe, I think he's breathing, then I'm going to stop. Then I know that it's time that I could stop.
Now, we see on your computer screen an example of what it is you mean when you say you want the animal to move, to seem like it is moving. This is a horse with a rider who is just about to go over a hurdle.
Yes.
And we are right on the other side of the hurdle, and we're facing the oncoming horse and rider.
And I think that's so true with life, too. Sometimes we are right there, and we are right at that point where we're going to go over that hurdle, and then we can get over it. And then we look back and we see ourselves as we were approaching that, and we go far beyond. We can take that far beyond just a horse going over a jump. When I watch horses jumping, I feel like I'm going with them. I feel like I'm riding through the wind with them. I'm literally feeling what is happening. And I'm because I love anatomy and horse muscles, then I'm watching how is the rider positioned? You know, what is that horse doing? What is that rider telling that horse? Because there's a lot of stuff that people don't see when a rider is on a horse, or a horse has a rider on him or her. There's a lot of things people don't actually observe. So when you're training and you're taking lessons, or when you're taking equestrian lessons, riding lessons, your instructor sees all that stuff. They are telling you, you know, you're unbalancing or balancing the horse because you are not participating with this process.
And what we see in your painting, Diane, is an example of a rider and a horse who are one.
Oh my gosh, Eric, that is so, so important. That is so important. Yeah, and I think we have to be like that with our lives too. We have to tune in to where we are in our life and where we're going, and that in that way, you know, you get there. Otherwise, if you don't know where you're going, how do you know when you get there? You have to start in order to arrive. You have to do it.
And the beauty of this pose, the moment you've captured the horse and rider, mm-hmm. is the sense of the feeling of forward momentum.
Yes.
The feeling of tension in those muscles.
Yes.
That will take the horse and rider over.
Oh, that Erica, road. That is so observant. You know, what I wanted out of this painting was I wanted exactly that. I wanted it to be, I didn't want the horse to be approaching the jump and getting ready to go. In this particular painting, what I wanted to say was, this is it. I am over this thing. I'm over it. I know that I could take this jump, which is my title. I know I could do it. I've done it before, and now I am practiced and I'm ready. And yes, I'm going to do this, and everybody can see that I could do it. And I know it. The horse knows it. The rider knows it. And you're done. You did it. But you practiced and you studied and you're observant and you took care to do the things the right way.
And there's no sense we have that one of the rear legs or feet will catch on that hurdle. It's,
right.
It's way over that.
Exactly. See, that's very observant too, because a lot of times that is what happens. If the horse or the rider has hesitation, then something happens on that jump and the foot drags. They don't know where they're going. And a rider will always look in the direction of the next jump, the next obstacle. So when they're doing that, they are already telling the horse, this is what we're doing. And it's so true with life. There's so much in art and life that I personally relate. You know, if we don't know what we want out of it, we usually don't get it. But if we know what we want and we keep working at it, we can get it. And I've studied anatomy, and I mean, I looked at all those little muscles and bones in the legs, and I have an anatomy book, and I went through all that, and it's like, okay, I have to figure something else out here, because now I see something I didn't see before, and my reference material from my photographs that I've studied, they're not telling me, because photographs lie and they don't tell the truth all the time and they don't show you everything that you can possibly know. You need to know the horse inside out. You need to know your subject inside out. And if you don't know your subject, that shows. If you do, that shows.
And you were actually there observing this horse at the show.
I knew what I wanted, and I knew that I knew I could get it. So I thought, you know what? I'm watching these animals go over these jumps. I'm watching them do this. And what I want is I want the best moment of that jump. That's what I want. And that's what I was hoping to portray in it.
Sitting here across from it, you got it. And it would be like an oncoming train. There's
yeah.
no stopping that.
No. Work. And that's the whole thing. That's all the work is done. You're there. You're over it. You're just, you know, you know at that moment. That is the moment where you know you got it. And you can see the back legs, like you said, the back legs are just, they did that thrust, they did that pushing. They're done. Everybody's in it. Everybody's in. Everybody's going.
And it would be like, I would suppose, if you went to a track meet and you mm-hmm. watched a high jump.
Right. Yes. Yep. You can tell, like, when they get up at the top of the jump, they know, all they have to do is land.
Now, you have a portrait of a horse like this in motion, but you also do actual portraits of horses and animals, dogs, and I'm looking across to see a parrot.
Yes.
You render them as if they were sitting for or posing for a portrait, as humans do.
I wanted to be alive, like we talked about before. When do I stop painting? Well, you never know, but I do know that there are some times when I'm painting something and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I think I got what I want. So now I just touch up the other little things. But when I think he starts to breathe on me, it's like, okay. I mean, he doesn't literally breathe, but I can tell he has that breath of life in him. And yes, I have several portraits that I brought up. This particular portrait of Phoebe is a miniature, and this painting won second place in the Miniature Painter Sculptors Graver Show of 2024.
And that's an international exhibition.
Yeah, that's an international, as well as the Cider Painters is international. And I have an award in Cider Painters this year. And that would be a miniature of this painting that I showed you before with the snow and the trees. And there's so much involved in the process of making a painting, like I created the light. And after I created this big painting, I thought, wow, I think I'd like to do a miniature painting of this.
It's a landscape of trees in winter.
Yes.
But don't you have to reconceive it when you're going to reduce it in size?
I did a total second painting. And when I did the second painting, these little shapes started coming out of the trees. And in the miniature, there's deer over on both sides. And I'm thinking, oh, there's the doe and there's the buck. What the heck? I guess I better give them some legs. So I did. And that is the painting that won the award at the Cider Painters this year in 2025. So, I mean, you just don't know. But I did all the work and all the study. It's kind of like this painting here prepared me for that little miniature. And I loved it. And my friends saw it. And my friend Sheena saw it. And she said, oh, she really liked that. And she picked the winner out of the five that I showed her.
And you know, as we talk with you, Diane, we're getting a sense that you are having a conversation with your painting. You're
yes.
not imposing your will on it. You're very much
right.
listening to what it...
Good point. Very good point. Because when you're painting, I mean, you can render something precisely and get exactly what you want, if that's what you want to do. But even when you're doing that, I think that the painting talks to you and speaks to you in certain ways. I don't mean with verbal words, but with design and power and composition and color. You know, you put something down and the painting says, well, you know, I mean, you're looking at it and it's like clear to you that that's just not comfortable being there. So you change your color. You change your way that you're approaching it. So with that little painting with the deer in it, it's called Winter Solstice 2025. That's the first one. And then the second one I did was a miniature. But I loved it. And I was working on these new effects. I think as an artist, I always want to be growing and learning something new and teaching myself to do something that I want to explore. You know, I don't want to do something just what I already did. I want to learn. I always want to learn. You know, the world is a school to learn from, and I want to learn.
And for you, the tools that you use, the paints that you use, those have to be the best you can get so you
yes.
can do your work as an artist, right?
That's very true, too. Good observation again, Eric. Because, you know, a lot of times when I was teaching my students, they would say, well, can I just bring this watercolor block and these little tubes of paint that I have? And I said, well, if you do, you're probably not going to succeed in my class because you're not going to be able to get out of that what you can get out of this. And I would show them the different paint and the difference. So you get the best quality supplies that you can for where you're at in your life and what you can afford.
What do you work with? Oil paints, watercolors? What do you use overall?
I've used most of them. I've worked in egg tempera, acrylic, oils, watercolor, pastel, pencil color, pencil, charcoal. I seem to be doing a lot of watercolors because a lot of people just love the watercolors and the animals. Like all these, this particular painting of Phoebe was done in watercolor, and it's about a 3x3 inch painting. So it's a miniature, and her eyes are just really, really big and glowing and alive. And when you see that, you go, oh, wow, this happened. It worked. You know, I mean, you never know. It's going to work. But I do a lot of watercolors, a lot of pastels, and sometimes I combine the mediums. So that's something else I do. But quality paint and quality products, if you don't have them, you're just not going to be able to, you know, I mean, it's the difference between good gas in your car and putting bad gas in your car, or having a low light in your room and you can't read. So if you have the proper lighting, you can read a lot better, a lot faster, and you don't have to you get as tired. So I try to work with the best things that I can afford. And all my supplies are archival. So when people get a painting, they know that they're getting something that's going to last them pretty much a lifetime.
Do people come to you with photos of, say, Phoebe, and this is the photo we love of Phoebe, can you make us a portrait of her?
Yes.
Is that how it works, or do you ever do sittings with animals?
I have. My friends used to be, my friend Judy Endo and Barbara Lampman used to have a class, and used to sit in on it, and I would draw all the dogs in the class, but they're puppies, okay, puppy class. So you only get an ear, or you get a nose, or you get an eye, or a piece of an eye, and they're gone. But I do like to sketch from life. I'll go out in the field with the horses and stuff, and I'll sketch from life. But the real study is you get the photograph. You've already studied something about that animal or that kind of animal. So you have some knowledge. So you have a background to work with. So then when somebody, for instance, a man from one of those classes gave me a really tiny, a regular size picture, but the dog he wanted painting was a German Shepherd, which is a familiar breed. But the dog he wanted painted was only, you never hear of a thumbnail sketch? Well, the dog's head was smaller than my thumbnail. So I had to work with the cameras and the photography to make that bigger so I could actually see it. So that's all he had. And the dog passed away at Christmas time. So he said, my wife is so sad. He said, do you think you could work from this picture? And I said, I could do that. So I did it. And when he came over the house to pick it up, I had it covered. And I said, now prepare yourself because now the dog is almost life-size because I understand how to make him bigger and make him like he's alive. And tears, you know. I fall in love with them because I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, what's this dog like or what's this animal like?
The other thing that we go back to when we talk about taking the jump, you also have an interest in the relationship between horses and humans.
Yes.
You have portrayed, for example, the officers, the police officers,
yes,
and their horses.
Mounted police officers.
And
yeah,
you had a series examining that close relationship.
Yes, I did. I had firsthand information just with the horse and those officers, and you know how they responded to their horses and the responsibility they have, and you know how you shouldn't touch their bridles. You know, if you see a police horse, he's an officer. You should not touch especially his bridle, because you are interfering with that officer's job. And that horse is an official officer, an official representative of the law. And you really shouldn't handle him like that. But I love the horses and, you know, they've been posed for me and everything. And I will ask somebody, turn your horse this way, turn your horse that way. They say, oh, I'll just do anything for you. I say, oh, could you take a step back? I'm not sure how to do that. just make your horse go back. I said, could you line all the horses up for me so I can take a picture? I don't think we can get them lined up. Okay, could I try? And then I get them all lined up and I see people behind me taking the pictures, the same picture that I lined up and stuff.
Turn around and there's a horse and then there's a dog to the left of the horse. Can you bring that forward, the dog?
Yes.
As you were talking, I could see this portrait of the dog, mm-hmm, over your left shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And it is a dog who has such personality.
Wow.
His eyes are so soulful.
This is Mr. McGillicuddy, better known as Cuddy. And he is a lover. He just loves you. He's one of these kind of dogs that when he comes up to you and he's walking up, his whole body just wags. Yep. And I was photographing him that day so I could do this. And he just didn't want to pose for me and stuff. He wasn't feeling himself. And so I went by the door and I turned around and he did it. He did the pose I wanted. And I was like, okay, snap the picture. You got it. And I knew the moment that. And that's what happens with me too. If I go someplace to photograph somebody's dog, I know there's a moment and sometimes I have to wait for it. And it's like, oh, I didn't get any pictures I could really work from. And then all of a sudden the animal looks up at me like, oh, something's going on. What do I need? You know, it's like they do when you call them and you say, I got a treat. And they go, oh, yeah, a treat. Okay, something better than that food I eat. Just something extra special. That's my dessert, you know.
Cuddy is alive and so dear. And it's almost a questioning looking at you like,
yeah,
right?
That's what he was doing too. Exactly. He's so perceptive. Because I was at the door. And I put my camera away. I turned around and I said, I'm getting my camera back out. And I looked, because that was exactly what I wanted. Because that's him. That is his character right there. And that's what I try to do. I try to bring out the character of the animal because I think that is important, and their personality. And Cuddy, he's got personality.
Now, we're talking about this, and we can see your work online. You have a website that you're working on, right?
Yes, I just got my new website in process.
And there are various places. You're all over in November. And tell us where we can see you and what kinds of work you might have at various places.
Yeah, I had no idea this was going to happen in November, but I just said to somebody that I think I'm in 5 shows in November. And I went to type the paper up for my shows. I said, no, I think I'm in 6. I'm in the Wyoming Valley Art League juried, the fall show. And then the Penn State Lehman Homespun show we just had. And the Wyoming Valley Mall is coming up November 15th. And then Luzerne County Community College has a photography exhibit called Focused. And my husband and I are both in that, which is really incredible. Because he started coming home with these photographs in his phone. I said, Mike, that's just too good. We're going to have to print that. And he's like, yeah. But now he's showing his work in the galleries. And then Cider Painters. And I have a little painting in there. I talked about that before. The Winter Solstice 2025, the miniature version. And it's an international show because there's paintings from all over the world. And there's usually a couple hundred paintings in that show. I mean, we've had 300 some paintings. But there's an award for the Cider Painters. And that's on my website. And in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, November 22nd, I have 3 paintings in the Miniature Painters Sculptors Gravers Society in Maryland at the Bethesda Mansion. So that's pretty cool too. And I have the international award from last year from the Miniature Painters Sculptors Gravers Society, that second place watercolor painting that we talked about. So that's 6. And I also recently started having things in the Morgan Gallery in Blakesley. So people can go to the Blakesley Gallery and ask for Diane Grant Schakowsky's work. They can see my work on the website, Diane Grant Art. So that's really good. And some of these things are up on the website. This is a watercolor painting. Actually, right now, on my website, if you go to dianegrantart.com, the first painting you're going to see is Symphony. Symphony is a quarter horse, and she belongs to my friend at Someday Acres. And this is a watercolor portrait of her. And this is an example of what I would do. Like, this is a photograph that I took of Symphony. I took several photographs of Symphony. It's from the photographs, and there's actually a little bit of sketching in the background. This implies that she's in the barn, and she's on a cross tie here. But on the other side, I just suggested with pencil. And that's something you have to watch out for. Where are these lines going to cross? And I didn't want that too close to her face. So I decided that I would do this as like an illustration. And Symphony has her halter on. That's her colors. Then the rest of it, I just left the pencil lines in there to suggest it. So this is a watercolor portrait worked from my photograph. I don't have to have my photographs to work from.
I have to stop you again to say we're looking at Cuddy, we're looking at Phoebe, we're looking at Symphony and Mac, and you have a gift for creating eyes that look real.
Ooh, eyes. I love that, eyes.
They're not the same. They're not cookie cutter eyes. We were talking about Phoebe before and those beautiful, the color of the eyes, those mischievous little eyes, right?
And Phoebe's a 3x3 painting, and you can still pick out the clarity in her eyes.
And then we're turning to a landscape, and you talked with us about a larger winter scene that you rendered again as a miniature, and now this is a different flavor winter scene.
Yeah, this painting is a watercolor, and it's called Gentle Country Scene, and I had it in the Luzerne County Fair, and it got a first place in its category. And then I found out that it also had the best of show. So I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Because it just came out of my head. I was just kind of sitting there meditatively working on this painting and creating it, which I encourage people to do. And so the pickup date for this was the same date as the drop-off date for the Wyoming Valley Art League Fall Exhibit 2024. So I went right from the fair, right over to Wyoming Valley Art League, and I dropped it off, and the painting ended up getting third place in watercolor at the show. So it was worth the hustle to get it there.
you have a limited palette, but winter is limited, right?
Yeah, it is a limited palette. That's really cool that you saw that. It's basically blues and a little tiny, tiny bit of like a brownish color. But it didn't need much. I mean, it was just in my head. It was what I felt. And I was just playing with my Daniel Smith colors. And I have all different kind of watercolor things and stuff. But those two colors that I picked were pretty awesome.
It's very moody. It's very moving.
I was probably moody when I did it. Because, you know, you feel something. And this is what I do with the animals. I feel something when I'm painting these animals. You know, I know the love that these people have for their animals. And I know that they're going to treasure their painting, whatever I have done for them.
Now we're coming to the winter season. Mm-hmm. So will you find yourself doing more like the country scene because it is winter? Or does that come to you in spring and it doesn't matter? Is there any correlation?
I am inspired by nature, totally inspired by nature. Waterfalls. I'm always taking pictures of something like dragonflies. I like to take little close-up pictures of dragonflies, water. I love nature. I can't help it. Like right now, I'm just want to get out there and take pictures of fall colors. Then, you know, maybe some people think, well, the trees are bare and there's no life to them. There's a lot of life in there. There is a lot of things going on in nature, just like inside of a person's head or their physical body. There are a lot of things happening in there that we just can't see them, but they're happening. And if we're observant, we can understand that they're there. And I like to see the trees when they're budding and the leaves are coming out and the flowers are blooming and they're just popping up. That's so welcoming. And then in the summertime, you get that heat and it's like a mist that you know can come over. And the fall is so beautiful. The leaves are on the trees. Now, today was very windy. And now you can see the trees, the bones of the trees really well because their leaves are like all over the place. But I can't wait to just get out and take more pictures of the fall leaves. I shot a picture of a deer the other day up against a rock wall area. And then I looked up in the back. My husband said, look up there. See, he's getting real observant. He says, look up on the hill. There's a deer up there. So now there's this dark area here with this deer glowing. And up there on the hill is glowing. So, I mean, there's so much. I mean, the snow, I mean, I don't want to be out in the snow if I have to go somewhere. But I love painting it. You know, like I'll go out and shoot all the little sparkly things in the snow pile. But nature is beautiful.
You feel that there is an energy everywhere in nature that signifies that there is life there.
There's life. Yeah, it's exactly what I was thinking about when you started saying that. There is life. This portrait of nature, call it a portrait of nature. This painting is all about the light of nature. I brought it down when it was half done. I just wanted to see what my husband would say. And the trees were real dark, and they're against this light background. And I didn't put the snow in yet. And I said, what do you think of my painting, honey? And he said, I don't know. Trees are kind of dark. And I said, thinking to myself, oh, good. So I went upstairs, and I brought it back down when it was finished. And he said, is that the same painting? And I said, yes. So then, I love it. I think it just came out really nice. And I had a photograph I did a few years back, and I always wanted to paint it. It doesn't really look like anything like the photograph, but nature taught me where the shadows were. And when I saw where the shadows were, I said, I got the rest.
Diane Grant Tchaikovsky, speaking with us about her work and some of the places she can be seen. Her work can be seen in the month of November into December. There are many places, and we heard her speak about the Cider Painters of America International exhibition at the Main Street Gallery, Pierce Street in Kingston. She has her miniature she talked about, Winter Solstice 2025, and that's an award-winning piece. The exhibition is open now and will run through December 20th. That's the Cider Painters of America International Exhibition, Main Street Gallery, Pierce Street in Kingston, through December 20th. November 14th, there is the opening of a photography exhibit at the Luzerne County Community College in Nanticoke. It's titled Focused. And Diane and her husband, Michael, will have work in that show. there is a show for the public that is exciting for those who are looking ahead to the holiday time. It's November 15th, and it's the annual Wyoming Valley Mall Craft Show. She will have her art and prints there and be able to talk about her work. November 21st, the Wyoming Valley Art League Fall Juried Exhibition will open, and she has work in that show. And that's at the Circle Center for the Arts in downtown Wilkes-Barre. It's in the middle of the block, and the building is distinctive because it is a round building, like a castle, and it's between South Franklin Street and South Main Street. That's the Wyoming Valley Art League Fall Juried Exhibition. November 21st is the opening. And also, she will be in the out-of-state category. She'll be featured in the Miniature Painters, Sculptors, Gravers Society International Exhibit. They are of Washington, D.C., and they will be in Bethesda, Maryland, and that's opening November 22nd. For all the details, you can find out more information at her website. That's dianegrantart.com, dianegrantart.com. Now, again, we have the Cider Painters now through December 20th at Main Street Gallery in Kingston. We have the Luzerne County Community College Photography Exhibition, November 14th through December 17th. We have the Miniature Painters, Sculptors, Graver Society of Washington, D.C., at the Mansion at Strathmore in Bethesda, Maryland, November 22nd through January 10th, dianegrantart.com.